John's Gospel, the 18th chapter, verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. There's some questions about life and purpose that I would like to just ask. And by the way, we ministered last Sunday on the power of a cause. I want to amplify that and call the message today the secret power of a cause. The secret power of a cause. Some questions of life and purpose. Why was I born? Another question, why am I here now? Another question, what can I do now? What should I be doing? What can I do at this time and at this place in my life? Another question, what is my purpose and passionate cause for the rest of my life? I believe that these are very strong questions, and in prayer, I wrote them down as the Spirit of God shared that with me. Why was I born? Why am I here? What can I do now? What is my purpose and passionate cause for the rest of my life? Am I just existing, or do I have a passionate cause? What am I really committed to? What cause am I committed to? You see, there can and there should be more than one cause that you're committed to in this life. Let me explain what I'm saying. First of all, to love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. To live clean and pure. To live morally clean. Seems like it's not very popular now, but it still works and it's still in God's economy. To just say no to impurity and say yes to be pure. And if you've made mistakes, put them under the blood of Jesus. And let God give you that spirit and mentality of purity from this day forward. So God wants us to have a cause to love God with all that is within us. To live morally clean and pure. To be committed to your marriage if you're married. And to be committed to your job. To be a good employee. Don't despise your job. You'll never get a better one. Don't despise the provision that God has made, no matter how meager it may seem. Respect the job you have. Be a good employee. Give it your best, and God will promote you. And always remember, there's someone who would just love to have your lousy job. But one of the greatest needs of this day and age, all these other causes being included, one of the greatest needs of this day and age is a passionate commitment to a pastor and to a church, because the pieces never fit until we commit. But you see, God wants us to have a cause. And why so many people are so bored, and why people do such dumb, nonsensical things? They just don't have any real reason to live. They just wake up in the morning, what's up, and go through day, and there really is not a passionate cause. But as I look into God's Word, I dealt last week, and I want to deal with it a little bit more, on some differences between a vision and a cause. They were talking about the vision of Christian education as we were there at ORU, and I said, you know, that's a wonderful beginning, but let me show you where I believe God is leading us, that we must somewhere go from a vision to a cause. And so many people said, yes, yes. You see, throughout this powerful teaching of last Sunday and this Sunday, we're showing you the scriptural difference between a vision and a cause. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, people perish. Habakkuk 2, verse 2, write the vision and make it plain. Acts 26:9, Paul said, I've not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. You see, a vision is optional. As wonderful as it is, a vision is still optional, but a cause is total commitment. A vision is a starting point. It's a proposed course of action, a blueprint. It's a motivation to move forward, a compass to stay on course, a wake-up reminder on slow days. A vision is a constant arrow pointing forward and onward. It's a steady guide in trying times. And yes, a vision is a start, it's a plan, it's a guide, it's a compass. But a vision alone is not enough. A vision alone is not enough. A vision alone is not a guarantee of success or victory. And if you study the Word of God, you look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 29. When David walked on the field of battle, even though no battle was going on, something leaped out of David's spirit and he said, "Is there not a cause?" There is a cause. Something's missing here. We need a cause. And God gave him an opportunity to follow through on that cause, and it really became his life's work to be a leader among God's people. Also, we reviewed over in Ephesians, the third chapter, I believe it's about 14, verse 14, where Paul said, "I bow my knees before the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." What's a good Jew doing bowing his knee before the name of Jesus Christ? Because Paul has met him on the road to Damascus. But somewhere along the way, that vision became a cause. That vision became a cause. David had a vision of being faithful when he cared for the sheep, when he slew the lion, and when he slew the bear. But something shifted gears when he came upon the field of battle. And he said, "Is there not a cause?" And then we read these words from the life of Jesus as he stands before Pilate. And he said, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world." I do not know what those words mean to you, but those words have touched my heart in a way that I cannot articulate. As many times as I've read through this portion of God's Word, when I read these verses a few weeks ago when we were in Colorado, "To this end," I read, Jesus said, "To this end I was born. For this cause came I into the world." Jesus said, "This is why I was born." You think I'm in an awkward situation standing before you, Pilate, but this is why I was born. Jesus said, in essence, "I came to live and to be a reflection of the Father, an extension of Father God. I came not to spare my life, but to give my life." And so the courtroom was not a negative to Jesus. He said, "This is why I was born. For this cause I came into this world." A vision is a start, a plan, a guide, a compass. But a vision alone is not enough. A vision alone is not a guarantee of success or victory. Nothing significant will come to pass in the secular or the spiritual world until a vision becomes a passionate cause. Martin Luther King said, "I have a dream." But if you study what it was all about, it was more than a dream. It was a cause. It was a cause for which his life was taken. Others have had other statements, but when you go through the Bible, there's some very pitiful people, such as Osama bin Laden. Whatever you think about him, he has a cause. He says he's ready to die for it, but he sure hides away from that happening. But anyway, we'll move right on here. There's some folks that would like to help him in his cause, but he doesn't seem to be available right now unless he's already gone on. Hitler had a cause. Lenin had a cause. Stalin had a cause. Billy Graham had and has a cause. Men such as Oral Roberts blazed the trail for so many wonderful things that have happened in the kingdom of God over these many, many years. And I date back my calling to the ministry to one of those two great meetings on the parking lot of Farrington Field, just across the street from the old Casa Manana, where that 10,000 seat tent was set up, and where my young heart was touched in a profound way by the gospel of Jesus Christ. But remember that nothing significant will come to pass until a vision becomes a passionate cause. We were on campus at ORU in 1965. We had just begun the church in the little post office building in 1964. And they could not have had over three buildings at that point. But Oral Roberts was saying that God spoke to me and said, build me a university that will not be ashamed of God, that will not be ashamed of the Word of God, where Jesus is Lord and where the Holy Spirit will always be welcome. And God has honored that calling and the obedience to that call. You see, David had a cause. Paul had a cause. Jesus had a passionate cause. And you say, what about this secret thing, the secret power of a cause? The secret is that when you're committed to a God in a passionate cause, that is God's passionate cause, supernatural power is released in you and through you. That's the secret. You see, in the secular world, you can do a lot of things. You can be a scientist. You can be a general on the field of battle. You can be a politician. You can be whatever you may be. And you'll reap material rewards. But oh, the secret of a cause when you're a child of God is that when you join God's cause and become a part of God's army, then something supernatural is released in you. And not only is God's cause put forward, but God anoints you to see victory in your life. So a victory is great. We thank God for a victory. And a vision is great. We thank God for a vision. But oh, see the secret power of a cause. To this end I was born. For this cause came I into this world. Now you might say, Pastor Nichols, now you're a pastor and you're all fired up and you're all stirred up and you're right. But you see, it's useless for me to be on this platform all fired up and all stirred up and have this vision stirred in me in a new way if I don't have others who say the same thing. For this I was born and for this cause came I into this world. Because as I've said so often, this is not the Bob Nichols Show. That's why I've surrounded myself with so many wonderful people and so many capable people to help us do what God's called us to do. David had a cause. Paul had a cause. Jesus had a great cause, a total cause that he laid down his life willingly. Now, let me tell you about this cause thing. A cause is total commitment. Calvary's a nice place, and if I ever get around to it, I'll be in there sometime. No. A cause is total commitment. A cause is not optional. Impossible doors will open for a faith cause. Creative ideas manifest for a faith cause. Finances manifest for a cause that is birthed and born of the heart of God. Supernatural strength is given by God for a cause. I amaze myself. I've had some people that have known me for a number of years. They said, we don't understand you. You're facing more than you've ever faced in your life. And they say, I look okay. And I sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Thank God for joy. Thank God for the strength and the health that God has given us. But you know, there's a supernatural strength that is given by God when you join God's cause. You do your own cause, you're on your own. And I was just rejoicing this week and thinking, as we were back on that campus, we were just beginning. Such a small, humble beginning. No people, no backing, no help, no money. Baptist banker believed in us and loaned me $1,000. He said, oh, son, what I could do for you if you were only a Baptist. And he could, and he was a good man, and he was a very dear friend to this ministry. But I want to go to the heart of the matter. You see, when you get a revelation of God's cause, no matter what comes against your life, nothing can throw you off course. I'm amazed as I, by phone, by convention, by travel, cross the trails of men that at one time had a passion and a fire of God in their heart, but somewhere along the way it disappeared. You see, the problem was they had a vision, but they didn't have a cause. And that's the way with so many churches. Christian education is wonderful until they find out it cost you something. Everything is cost effective. We're managers instead of ministers nowadays, but not at Calvary Cathedral. So Christian education, you see, the theme that we're holding on to is that we're investing in the future through our children. When you get a revelation of God's cause, no matter what comes against your life, nothing can throw you off course. Whether it be discouragement, depression, backsets in life, knowing that you were born for this cause. Let me give you a little revelation. This is not all fun and games, and every day is not a great day in my life in the sense of everything that happens. It's still a series of words called a lot of hard work. A lot of faith, but a lot of hard work. Being places that you don't necessarily want to be by your first choice. Doing things that sometimes your body says, you better kick back a little bit. I mean, you know, just giving it the extra. You've got to do that. But as I look at this, the secret for me, the secret is, for this I was born. And for this cause I came into the world. And that doesn't make me a hero. It just gives me something of wisdom to have enough sense to know that and do that and believe that and cooperate with God. And I'm not alone in that. My wife, since the storm, has been a rock that has amazed me time and time and time again. She's a woman of faith, and I thank God for her. But knowing that you were born for a cause will keep you moving forward and release you into the plans and purposes of God. If I could say something, and I hope it doesn't sound self-serving, there are three men that have been heroes in my life. And I'll not speak their names at this point. But I look at the longevity of our ministry, the time we've been in full-time ministry, and what God has done. And many of them, there's no way to excel what they did in a certain period of time. But their health broke. They had nervous breakdowns. They backed away because of the pressure. Men that I were mentors to me spiritually and mentally and emotionally. But something in me said, why quit so soon? Something in me said, there's a job to do. Someone said, we're not through with what God's called us all to do. You don't win a race by stopping one lap short of the finish line. You don't stop. And you don't quit on your first day. You don't quit on your worst day. So a vision attached to a cause has supernatural power. A cause is greater than anyone. And if our church has the cause in their spirit, they will automatically partner in our corporate vision. There is no such thing as having the cause of this church in your heart and not being a tither. No such thing. I don't care how nice you are and how much you love us. I love you, and that's all I have to say. But if you believe in this vision, as we believe in this vision, the very basic that we do is 10% unto God. A vision is something you possess, but a cause possesses you. You wouldn't die for a vision, but you'll die for a cause. Jesus died for a cause, and that's why we're here today. A vision can be ignored, but a passionate cause cannot be ignored. A vision can exist for you, but you exist for a cause. A vision can come and go according to moods or seasons or times, but a cause is unstoppable. As I see it, a cause is forever. Paul said, I've not been disobedient to this vision that turned into a cause. You see, if a believer is committed to a cause, there's two questions that you'll ask, and you have a right to ask those questions. I'll shock you with one of them, but let me give you two questions. If you're committed to a cause, let's say you're committed to the cause of this house, number one, your utmost desire is to help, support, and what can I do? You see, it's the difference of courtship and falling in love. It's the difference of a blind date and now you're engaged and headed for the altar. There's things you do for those you love that you don't do for those that you don't love. It's called love. So if I'm committed to a cause, I ask, what can I do to help? What can I do to see victory? What can I do to advance this cause? And number two, I have a right to ask this question: what's in it for me and mine? That's not a bad question. It's a good question. You ought to ask that question. I like what John F. Kennedy said. He said, don't ask what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. Well, but that goes both ways. What is in it for me and for mine concerning commitment to a cause? What's in it for me? What's in it for my family? And you know, if you'll just really give us an honest chance, there's something in it for everybody. And it's not all perfect starting at the pulpit, but you got to commit. It's a package deal. Pieces never fit until you commit. One lady that used to come around, I don't know what finally happened to her. She said, I have five pastors. She was the most confused woman I ever met in my life. What's in it for me? Well, what difference does it make if I just attend? Or what difference does it make if I catch a vision? Hey, we love everyone that attends. We love everyone that has a vision. But what difference does it make if I totally go from a casual attender to an exciting vision and then dare to take the plunge of total commitment to the cause of attending, loving, serving, praying, supporting? What difference does it make? What's in it for me? What's going to happen to me if I commit? Well, first of all, I view my pastor in church with a positive faith attitude. I don't come in critiquing. I come in just say, hey, good to be here. Glad to have a home. Glad we have a place. I view my pastor in church and staff with a positive faith attitude. Number two, that's a very good one. I didn't want to leave that too quickly. Amen. Number two, my coming to church becomes an exciting faith venture. Because I'm on the team. My presence makes a difference. My praise and worship makes a difference. My giving makes a difference. My faith makes a difference. My coming to church becomes an exciting faith adventure. Not boring, but exciting. Thirdly, my praise and worship takes on a whole new dynamic of power. It really does. You don't even have to have a good voice to be a part of our praise and worship. No one knows the difference but you. My praise and worship takes on a whole new dynamic of power. I was in an audience out of this city. I heard the worst voice I have ever heard in my life. It was a woman's voice. It could have been a man's, but it was a woman. It was so bad. I led praise and worship for several years, so I'm very sensitive to what happens on a platform. I'm very sensitive musically, even though I haven't been an official praise and worship leader. But I mean, in every session, that voice, the vibrato, it drove. I really had to just put my faith on the line and say, and just, it was bad. It was agitating. It was like she was trying to make us all mad in that. And there, it was between three ladies, and I got to watching. And I was trying to figure out, where in the world is this terrible sound coming from? Isn't that? It wasn't mean about it. I'm just sensitive. I'm sorry. I'd close my eyes, and it was still there. I'd turn away from that side of the chapel, and it was still there. And I think I got it located. And then I said, Father, I forgive them for their voice. And I forgive you for giving them that voice. And I'm going to overcome. Of all my years in the ministry, I have never heard a voice like that. And you know, that dear lady loved God with all of her heart. I don't know why God let her sing, but I mean, it was probably to help me overcome. And I mean, for 3 years in a row, when I'd go to that conference, that same voice, and I'd have to, Jesus, help me, Lord. But she loves God, and I love that lady. I mean, I have nothing against the lady, except I just am interceding that God gives her a better voice by next year. But you know what? She didn't know the difference, and she didn't care. God didn't care either. God was just excited about her voice. And God's excited about your voice. You say, I hope I don't have a voice. Believe me, if you had a voice like that, I would hear you from any corner of this auditorium. Your cover would be blown. I would know who you were. All right, I view my church and my pastor with a positive faith attitude. My coming to church becomes an exciting adventure. My praise and worship takes on a whole new dynamic of power regardless of what kind of voice I have. And there is a whole new faith, excitement about giving my tithes and sowing offerings as God leads. You know, when you love the house, when you love the cause of the house, when you love what God's doing, you don't say, another offering. You know, either you can or you can't. We love everybody. We love everybody. But, you see, when it's time to give, you're just so excited. I get to be partners again. Thank God I'm partners. Here's another one that I rejoice that partners do catch more fish. And I'm partners with one. You're just going to have to love me to understand my statements today. But I'm partners with one of the greatest and most exciting churches in America. And I feel that way about this church. I feel that way. Amen. I rejoice that partners catch more fish. And I'm partners with one of the greatest or one of the great and most exciting churches in America and many different parts of the world. Here's another one that I think is so, so very given to me of God. I have a strong, victorious sense of ownership. Ownership. You know, some people rent a car and treat it anyway. It's just a rent car. Sometimes people's real colors show up when they're in somebody else's or using somebody else's. If something breaks while you have it, fix it. If you use somebody's car, put gas in it. I rented a very nice car the other day. The thing would hardly run because they'd put terrible gas in it. And I put better gas in it than it deserved. I said, I'm going to bless the next person that drives this car. I said, Pastor, I thought you were weird, but confirmation has just arrived. No, I'm sowing. I said, I'm sowing. I'm sowing. You see, when I know that I'm committed to the cause, I have a sense of ownership. I'm part of what's going on. And every soul that is won, I share in that partnership. The young people that are over on the mission field now for these few days or down in Mexico or wherever, I share in every soul that comes to Jesus. I share in every person that received their healing just a few nights ago. I share in that woman who was born crippled, who leaped from this platform to the lower level, as we all said. We share in that miracle. There's a sense of ownership, not a sense of criticism, not a sense of critiquing, but a sense of ownership. I'm part of what's going on here, and I share in the reward. Ownership. I've never used that word, but I like it. I feel like God quickened that to my heart. I have a strong, victorious sense of ownership about my church. And I say, if it's to be, it's up to me. I don't wait for someone else to do it. I do it. I don't say if somebody else would give, I'll give. But I step up to the plate. How do we support this powerful ministry? By everybody doing their part. I could empty a certain percentage of this auditorium if I flashed everybody's giving up on that screen for the last year or the last 2 years. I really could. And some of you would gasp as you see what some people have given. And you say, how in the world do they do it? Because they just believe God and they do it. You don't run a Paul team. You don't run an airline, you don't run a church, you don't run a hotel, you don't run a restaurant on nothing. It takes money to do it. And you know, you can just thank God that everything that you've ever put into this house, starting from an humble $40,000 building years ago, when we get through with everything that's going on around here, it will be. I tell you, it will be. I cannot say that exactly right now, but we're on the way. We will come out with twice as much as we had before the tornado. Over twice as much, not just twice as much, over twice as much. And you know, talking about this vision thing, we started with a vision like anyone does, I suppose, that has, you know, a burning call of God in their life. But you know, really, as I examine our beginning vision, it hasn't been scrapped since 1964. It's just been expanded and implemented. There invariably comes a time in every God-passionate cause when one must look at the past, look at the present, and look at the future. And I've been doing that for the last few days and for the last few weeks because we've had some heavy, heavy decisions to make. The questions are asked, are we still on course? Are we still doing what God said to do? And the question comes to me, am I still committed to the cause to give my life, to give my all, to give my best? And I believe that I can say with Jesus in John 18:37, by the help and grace of God, and only by the help and grace of God, I can still say, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into this world. There's a job to be done. We're committed. We have a committed staff. And it takes a week like this last week to listen to delegates from around the world who come up and say, your church, and your vision. And then after I got through, they said, and cause. And your Christian school has made a difference and has been a challenge to people all over the world. That sounds like I'm fabricating something, but not so. I could call two of our school people up now and they would say too many nice things about me, so I wouldn't let them. But folks, it's not me, it's not just you, it's all of us. What we're doing is making a difference. What we're doing is making a difference out in the neighborhoods as we go after little poor children, and not everybody's dirt poor. Some have a little bit more, some have whatever. To go out there every week, give them the gospel of Christ. Stay off of drugs. Stay in school. Clothes when it's needed. School supplies when school opens. We're making a difference out in eight different communities every 2 weeks. We're making a difference in over 25 years of radio. Over 25 years of radio, 100,000 watt station here in the Metroplex. We're making a difference in missions. We're making a difference in Christian education. The first year we graduated, one senior. I forget how many we had in our little school, but it wasn't much. But oh, we survived for 3 years, and then God began to help us to put meat on the bones, and we're entering our 24th year of Christian education. And now we have teachers who have graduated from Calvary Academy who are coming back with their university degrees, and they're teaching in our school. We are making a difference. We see the children that have come up. But I want to leave this with you today, and if it sounds melodramatic, why, so be it, but that's who I am and where I'm coming from. I'm holding to this with everything I have. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, to bear witness of the truth. And I need every partner in this house. If you just got here, you got here just in time. If you're a visitor, this is a good place for your ship to dock. If this is not the place, we love you, thank you, come back to see us every time you can. But folks, if there was ever a time that we need to connect with the vision, and anyone that says, well, I just don't know. Well, just love them, but just don't get involved in their confusion. Just love them and don't get involved in it. Just say, well, I know, I believe, I have a witness, this is where I belong. And you wait and see. If we've seen this much in this period of time, you wait and see 1 year later, 6 months later, 2 or 3 years later. Watch the cause grow and grow and grow and grow. You may not always make all the money you want to make out of your investments, but every penny that you've ever invested in the kingdom of God with a sincere heart of faith, it's reaping compound dividends. And it's growing and it's growing.